So let's get right to it.
We have a great show. We're using all four microphones.
I know. It's really exciting.
At least we're trying, yes.
And we're here with Lucille Lichtblau and Jesse Waldinger,
okay,
who are prime members of Plays in Progress, called PIP by most people. And they're going to be telling us how the organization started and what it's been doing and who might be interested in joining. So,
yes,
who wants to start about... Lucille, I think you were the prime mover in the beginning,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, I was. We realized, several of us, that there were so many theater people in that Hudson Valley area. And we also realized that there was no play development group locally. And this is a very important thing. Playwrights sit in their rooms all by themselves, and they don't really get any advice or feedback. So we decided that we'd start a group. And we called it Plays in Progress, PIP. And a PIP is really a seed. So that was part of it. And we started inviting some local writers, equity actors, directors, technical people to come and meet once a month and sit and listen to plays, read the scenes, cold readings, and give the playwright some advice, suggestions, etc. And it just took off from there. I think we started in 2009.
Mm-hmm. And how wide a circle, when you say they come from the area, do you have any from Massachusetts?
Oh, they come from Albany, they come from Catskill, they come from Massachusetts. Jesse, am I leaving any place out?
No. Most of the people are pretty local from the Hudson area, but there are those who come down from Albany. And it's getting wider and wider because the word is spreading and people seem to like what we do. So they're willing to come from further away. We have somebody who comes from Copaic, for example. We only meet once a month, and so they're willing to come that far to participate. We meet at the Hudson Opera House on the first Sunday of each month. Mm-hmm. And we arrange for three or four playwrights to bring sections of works they are working on or entire short pieces. And the group consists of playwrights and directors and actors. So when everybody assembles, the playwrights who have brought work give out the scripts to select people who have never seen the script before. And so it's a cold reading, as Lucille said. And they read, each one reads for about, between reading and discussion, each one gets about 20 or 30 minutes to read it. And then we have everybody chip in and discuss it. And it's a supportive group. Lucille has a rule, which is sometimes honored, which says, before you criticize something, say what you like about it. Mm-hmm. There's always something that you like about it. Sometimes people say, what I liked about it was so short, so it's over with. But say what you like about it first and then say how you can make it better. We have heard of other groups which are much more cutthroat than this. Mm-hmm. So we want to avoid that. We want people to feel welcome to come and to expose themselves because that's right. What you're doing as a playwright.
Yes, we want to create a safe space. And it's funny, sometimes when people start rewriting a play, they take out the good stuff because nobody has taken the trouble to say to them, you know, I think such and such in your play was really terrific, that really worked. And so sometimes when someone is told, well, you need to cut, you need to revise, you need to edit, they go and they take out the really good stuff they don't realize. And so we try to start out with, look, this you keep. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about a little bit about, well, this didn't work. You don't want to really kill anybody. You want to give people this feeling that they're safe and they can bring anything in. Because very often stuff that's on the edge is really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So they bring it back time. How many times?
Well, you can bring it back any number of times. And we have had people do that. They will say, look, this is what you didn't like the last time. What do you think about it now? And it's very gratifying because as an actor, we've been told this, the actors feel that they are a part of this creative process. Mm-hmm. They've put in their two cents, and oh my goodness, somebody has actually listened. Uh-huh. And so, cool. You know, it's kind of a fun thing going back and forth like that.
We find that sometimes the critiques are more interesting than the plays themselves.
Yes, well, that might happen.
And but that's fine, because you come to the meeting and the playwright goes away with some really constructive ideas about mm-hmm. what to do based on the very intelligent criticisms of these people. Mm-hmm. It's quite a group in that regard.
Well, mm-hmm. Jesse, you're a playwright by profession, right?
Well, yeah, Lucille is a playwright, but both Lucille and I have had other lives. I am also an attorney, and I did medical malpractice in the New York City area much of my career. But having closed down my office, I'm now devoting myself to playwriting, which I had done a little bit in the past as well. Mm-hmm. And Lucille, you can tell what you do for a living.
Oh, yes. As I was growing up, I became a psychologist, and I was in practice for many years. Mm-hmm. And I had started out trying to be a playwright, but it's funny. In the 1950s, I think there was one female playwright. Mm-hmm. Her name was Lillian Hellman, and that was about it. They really were not interested so much in women. And even today, in the 21st century, only 20 to 25% of produced plays are written by women playwrights. Mm. This is really across the board. Uh-huh. I recently won an award that was given to 13 playwrights, and I looked to see how many were women, and there were three of us. Uh-huh. So this holds true across the board. Mm-hmm. It is a very difficult field for anybody. It's a little bit harder for women. Huh. And so I left it. I became a psychologist. And then I went back to my first love. And mm-hmm. It's been really very gratifying.
Did you have plays produced at StageWorks here in Hudson?
Yes, I did.
That's how mm-hmm. I know your name.
Okay. Yeah. I had a number of short plays. I think there were something like eight of them done in the yearly play-by-play. Mm-hmm. And then yes. Laura Margolis, who was the artistic director at StageWorks, commissioned me to take one of those short plays called Car Talk and to turn it into a full-length play, which I did, and I heard about it only because she sent out a letter to all of her subscribers and said this is what was going to happen. And I called her up and I said, Laura, did you just commission me to write a play for you?
Oh, my goodness. She said,
well, of course, as if I should have known. So that was a kind of funny thing. And I wrote a Car Talk, and it was done also in Denver, Colorado.
Terrific.
At a very nice theater.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just sort of off and running with full-length plays. It was a really great thing that she did for me.
Yes.
Well, StageWorks is going to build a theater for themselves, aren't they, on the land that they own on Cross Street?
Really?
Yes, that's what I've been told. I don't know anything more about it than that.
That was the plan I heard about.
That was the plan, and I'm certainly hoping that that comes off, because StageWorks was always a promoter of new plays. And, of course, that's what playwrights live for, a place that will put on new work.
Yes, I also had some short plays produced by Laura at StageWorks, and it's unfortunate that StageWorks has ceased operations, I think, for the last year or two. But Laura's always threatening to come back with a new theater, and so we're rooting for her.
She's done it before.
Yes, well, we're hoping. Jesse also had short plays done there, as did, I think, some of our other playwrights, and certainly some of our actors worked there. So we're hoping it comes back. That would be really a great boon for the whole community.
Well, I thought she gave playwrights a wonderful production. There were good production values in what she did.
Oh, they were marvelous. They got full lighting, and although the scenery was basic, it was there. Mm-hmm. People were costumed. It was really a great venue to, as a place to see your work for the first time.
Do you know, do you have a rough idea of what the ratio is between playwrights and all the other people that come to the meetings?
There actually are more actors than there are playwrights, which is a good thing. But we also have, I'd say, the fewest is directors. Uh-huh. We have a handful of directors, and we have a larger number of playwrights, and the largest number is of actors. And then there are those people who dabble in both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sure. every year, in order to sort of pay back Hudson Opera House for letting us use the space, we put on a short play festival. Uh-huh. It's in May or June, and what we do is we select six or seven of the plays, of the shorter plays that have been developed by our members, and we assign them directors, and we cast them virtually all with members of our group. Occasionally, we have to go outside the group for a role or two. And we put this on as a fundraiser for Hudson Opera House. And this year, it was upstairs at Hudson Hall, which is the refurbished opera setting that they have done at tremendous expense. Mm-hmm. So we put on this production in late June of a number of our plays. And we've been doing this every year for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Did you fill the hall?
Pretty much,
we
yes.
did, yeah. Actually, Ellen was there. I think, what did we say? There was about 100 and...
there were, I think, 120 people.
Wonderful.
So it was a pretty full house.
Yes.
And considering that the tickets cost, you know, a fairly considerable amount for a reading, because it was a fundraiser.
Yes.
It was really wonderful.
Excellent.
To see all those people come out on a Sunday afternoon in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
To give up a Sunday afternoon and come and see us, we felt, wow, that's really fabulous.
Well,
so
we were hoping for rain.
yeah,
it
sure.
didn't
yeah, we didn't
it
get rain.
Didn't
it
get rain, but
day.
People showed up anyway, far more than we really expected, and they at least seemed happy with what they saw. But you never know, because people are polite. They're not going to tell you how miserable they were, but we have reason to believe that their enthusiasm was sincere.
I was there, and I concur with that. I thought it was wonderfully produced and directed. Jesse, refresh my memory. Were you on stage at any time?
Yes, I was on stage because Lucille wasn't feeling particularly well. She was there, and one of her plays was done, but she did not want to introduce them, which is usually did. So I was called upon to welcome everybody and explain where the bathrooms were and doing other important dramatic things.
Yes.
How did it feel to be on that stage? Was it comfortable?
Well, you know, that's a good question because in the past years at Hudson Opera House, we've been in one of their workrooms and we have makeshift stages. Here it was a real stage. But it didn't affect me that much. I have years of experience as a trial attorney, and so facing a jury was generally more scary than facing a friendly audience.
Right, I would think. If you're just joining us, you've got the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC Acra 90.7. I'm Debbie Mayer, and Alan Thurston and I are talking to Jesse and Lucille about Plays in Progress, a.k.a. PIP, based at the Hudson Opera House.
Today was the first day that I can remember learning that the reason for Plays in Progress being called that is that a PIP is a seed. That's really interesting. Here,
yeah.
I thought it was named after a character in Great Expectations,
right.
which also would be appropriate.
Yes, and Pip was a seed in Great Expectations, was
right.
he not?
Yeah. He was named that, I think, because he couldn't pronounce Philip or something
yes.
like that.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But what happens is then when we're sending out our emails, we have all kinds of names like Pipsters and Piperoons, and it's great fun. Yeah.
Pip-Pip Hooray.
Yes, right. And Pip-Pip Hooray. And generally, in spite of the fact that people have other things to do on Sunday mornings when we meet, uh-huh. we're always getting at least 20 people.
Oh, I wondered. That's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, we send the notices out to 35 or 40, whatever we have, but we always seem to get at least 20 people.
Yeah.
And so we get a nice
yes.
discussion.
And yeah. you mentioned earlier that some people come from Albany. And does this suggest that there is not such a group closer to Albany?
I don't know of any group in Albany. I know that there's there are groups in places like Rhinebeck, and but I don't know about Albany. However, the fact that people come to us does not mean that they're not involved elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
I know one of our members is very active at Sand Lake up in...
Yes, and also one of our members decided to try to replicate this elsewhere. I think in Schenectady or Troy because she moved. And so we've been giving her advice from time to time when she asks us some questions. How do you best do this? How do you best do that? So, you know, we're always pleased when somebody else starts a group that is similar to ours, because ours has really been extremely successful. Not that we couldn't use some more young actors. So if there's any young actors out there, feel free to inquire.
Definitely. How should they inquire?
Oh, yes. How do they inquire? How do they reach you?
Well, they can always get in touch with the Hudson Opera House, and the people at the Hudson Opera House, Sage or Gary, will email either Jesse or me or both of us, and then we'll get back to you. What we're looking for all the time are equity actors or actors who could, if they wanted to, join equity. We're looking for playwrights who've had some professional experience. And, of course, we're always looking for directors, again, who've had professional equity kinds of experience. We also have some technical people. and we have some producers. There are some people who wear about three hats, but we definitely have some producers who give us tremendous suggestions about our plays. They're very astute. So all of these kind of people are welcome.
You know, the Chatham Film Club, during the film festival in October, has had for a number of years a group where a workshop, I think they call it, for screenwriters, which is similar to what you do.
Yes, it is.
And I think a lot of your people came to one of them.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would think that's probably so. We have a member of our group who was the head of the screenwriting at Tisch at NYU. He retired, but now he's been asked to come back to Tisch to teach an extra special course, which he's going to do. So we do have some knowledgeable people in the area of screenwriting, although we don't particularly do that. We stick to playwriting.
It really is a different discipline. I've done screenplays as well as stage plays, and you really have to get into a different gear. Screenwriting is so much more a visual medium. And so when I used to be with a screenwriting group years ago, and I'd bring in one of my plays to be read, they all said, but this is all talking heads. That was their complaint. And, you know, you try to avoid it being all talk. But the truth is, on when you write a stage play, you have to be able to express what you want through words. While on a screenplay, you can do it more visually. It's really different.
Yeah, it's a different medium.
And formatting is different also. So, you know, if you're in a screenwriting group, you have to learn certain disciplines that are different from what we do.
Do you know, have any idea of how many of the plays that have been critiqued by your group have actually been produced?
I don't have an exact number, but this year, for example, we were getting emails from our playwrights that they were being done in various, their plays were being done in various different festivals. And we've begun to see that more and more, that one of our playwrights has been having some great success doing plays over in Massachusetts. I think he's had three this summer, one of which is a full length and the other two were short. Jesse is going to have his play done at Sand Lake, and he's been done in various other places. He can tell you more about that.
You can talk about yours, Lucille. You're allowed. You're allowed to talk about yours.
I'm allowed to talk about mine. Okay.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. I've had a play of mine that started at PIP and got great suggestions. Mm-hmm. And it has ended up being done in several places, including 59 East 59th Street off mm-hmm. Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a world premiere down at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival.
Cool.
Next summer, of a play that started right at PIP. And I can very well remember people saying to me stuff like, oh, you got to get that out of there. Or, oh, gee, don't change that, but do change this. Uh-huh. And I listened, and that play has become quite successful. So I'm very pleased about
Good.
That.
Great.
That's terrific, Lucille.
Okay, Jesse. Where is your play going to be done?
Oh, well, actually, I just had a series of four of my short plays. Most of my plays recently have been short and are based on historical events. Mm. So we took mm-hmm. Four of them and put them together under the title of Created Equal, because they're all about ironic events in American history where people are struggling for equality. And we put that on at as a temple in Pittsfield as a fundraiser for the temple. And we got about 120 people in the audience, put on four of these plays. My wife, Barbara Waldinger, was the director. And four of our seven actors were from PIP, as it happens. So that was just the other day, and that was pretty encouraging.
Indeed, it should be encouraging.
Well,
that's great.
I loved the plays that were done at the fundraiser for the Opera House. I have to disclose that I'm on the board of the Opera House, so I want the audience to know that I've disclosed that. You know, everybody's concerned about conflict of interest these days.
Yes.
Does that make you biased? I don't follow.
I don't know. Well, I just do it.
Well, she could be enthusiastic and over-enthusiastic, maybe, since she wants the Opera House to succeed. She's on the board. She's working for it.
We're equal to everyone here.
We
give everybody a chance.
I know that Ellen was there because she sat next to me, and and at one point in the middle, she turned to me and whispered, "Are you part of this production?" And I said, "Hush, they're doing my play."
Yeah.
Jesse was nice enough to move his bag that was on a vacant chair sitting next to him, and I was late coming, so I don't think I missed anything, though. I think I was in time for all of it. Is there anything else we need to know that we're leaving out here?
Jesse, can I just get off topic a little bit? Because you're involved also, aren't you, with Showcase Theater?
HRC Showcase Theater.
Correct. HRC Showcase
is,
Theater.
Yes, you are correct.
Uh-huh.
My wife, Barbara, is the artistic director of HRC Showcase Theater, and I'm very involved in it. I administer the nationwide playwriting contest.
Okay.
From which, out of the 150 or so plays that come in, these are full-length plays, Showcase Theater will choose five of them to be done as a staged reading over the course of the year from September or October through May. And what they do is they bring in mostly equity actors. They used to bring them in from New York, but now they're finding that there are so many talented actors in the area don't have to bring them up from New York. They come up in the morning on a Saturday, and they rehearse all day, and they do the staged reading at a church here in Hudson on Saturday night. But the actors have all been given the script early on, and there's emailing going back and forth with the playwright so that they're very well prepared, although they have never met necessarily until the day of the performance. And the playwright comes, and then there's a talk back afterwards where the audience tells the playwright what they think, and they usually follow the same strictures that Lucille does at PIP, in that they're more or less positive.
Right.
Sometimes I think too positive.
Yes.
So I try to strike a balance.
Okay. Yes, that can happen. That's great. So that's going to start up again in the fall?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
we've
good.
Already selected the plays for 2017-18. Because we work basically year-round. Nothing is happening over the summer except that we're preparing and choosing the plays and making sure that the playwrights can come on the days we select. It's basically every 2 months or so over the course of the year. And we avoid the summer to avoid conflicts with other events.
Right. Good.
Well,
cool.
It seems to me that both of you in your former careers have mined a lot of good information that you can turn into a theatrical production. I mean, a psychologist and What was it you were involved in?
I was malpractice. I haven't written any malpractice plays yet, but I have written a courtroom drama.
Have you?
A full-length courtroom drama, but that's about the Leo Frank case. It took place in 1913 in Atlanta. Fascinating case. And I did make use of my experience as a trial attorney to make the courtroom scenes realistic. But for Lucille, she spent her life every day with interesting problems and human reactions and human interactions that I'm sure she uses in her playwriting.
Well, I think so. The people down in Alabama said to me what they liked about my work was that it showed all the messiness of relationships. And I think that comes a little bit, first of all, from being older and knowing maybe a little bit more, and also from my work as a psychologist, because nothing is ever clear-cut. Life is kind of messy. People do wander in the wilderness for a long time sometimes. And so when you try to bring that sensibility into your work, I think it just deepens it. And that's what we try to foster also in our playwrights. We want them to explore. We want them to feel free to look at people in a very multifaceted way, you know, not just give a message or something like that, but to really present us with characters. And I think this is what we've been successful in promoting in a lot of our writing, and it's what the actors really love. They just love to delve into complicated, deep kind of people.
I'm sure. That's great.
Is there anything we've left out that needs to be said about Pip?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Undoubtedly. Just
no, what this is what happens. And then when we leave the studio, we'll suddenly say, oh
gosh.
Why didn't we mention this?
Yes.
We'll let you call in.
Yeah, right. You can call in. Or, folks, remember that if you're interested in Pip, you just need to contact the Hudson Opera House and they'll put you in touch.
Yeah, I'd like to second what Lucille said about, of course, we could always use younger actors and actresses. It is absolutely true. If you look at our demographics, the actors that we have, the young people are working, and they're not coming to us as actors as much as their older compatriots. So there's always room for younger people in our group.
Okay. We would also like some racial diversity.
Sure.
We need that as well as age diversity. That would be really, really welcome in acting, in playwriting, in directing. This would give us something that we don't have at the present time and which we would love to develop.
Okay, then.
All right. Well,
you've been challenged and welcomed out there.
That's right.
Pull your script a little bit together.
We do, before somebody joins us as a playwright, we do ask to see a writing sample. The actors, we go basically by recommendation. If the person has acting experience and somebody in our group has seen them and recommends them, that's fine. For directors, we would like some kind of CV or resume. For the playwrights, we will be asking, send us a scene or something that you've written.
Right.
Because we're really not playwriting 101.
Interesting. You expect people to have
some
experience or some
plays under their belt. Yeah, we like to see people who've had a play produced. It can be short plays, doesn't have to be a full length. But we do want to see people who are not playwriting 101, because that really takes other skills and a great deal more of time.
For that kind of critique. Interesting. Okay.
No, I think it's good that you have some sort of screening process, because I think that people who are who have more experience, want to be careful about who they're working with.
Well, you want to be careful, because when you present your work, and this is a professional group, so when you present your work to a professional group and people are giving you suggestions, you want to know that it comes from somebody who's experienced, mm-hmm. who really knows something, mm-hmm. And not just somebody who's practically walked in off the street. They haven't had any experience. They really don't know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we provide, that when someone says to you, look, this didn't work, or I think you really need to edit stringently, that they know what they're talking about. And that's why we really ask for a bio, a CV, and we really want to read a script or two before we take the person on.
Mm-hmm. We also, with new people, often say, why don't you come down to a meeting or two so you'll see how we work, to see if it's a good fit.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we have had experiences before where somebody comes in and has actually brought some material in and doesn't know what to expect, and doesn't understand what we're about. And even though we're very supportive, the truth is we are judging. When mm-hmm. somebody brings in a work, we're mm-hmm. going to talk about it, and you've got to see how this thing works perhaps before before you immerse yourself in it. So what we've done is have a policy where somebody needs to come down for a few times before they bring their work in.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that usually
definitely
works the best.
Yeah, sure.
Great. There you have it, folks.
All right.
We've
that
been
cool.
talking with Lucille Lichblau and Jesse Waldinger from Plays in Progress. And thank you both for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us. Yes. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it was delightful. Thanks
yes,
so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Ellen, for your next trick?
For my next trick?
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't have a next trick.
Okay, let me see what I can do.
I have no tricks up my sleeve.
Trying to think what the if there's theater. Oh, you know what's still on? There's still something at the local summer theaters are in full swing still. They may be winding up around Labor Day. But
Mac Hayden, do you mean?
Yeah, Mac Hayden Theater Barn in New Lebanon are the two that I'm thinking
well,
of.
Well, McCaden is doing Hello, Dolly.
Right.
I think that's opening tonight.
Okay.
That's
they
right.
just finished Spamalot, which I did have the opportunity to see. My wife is now a theater critic for an online publication called Berkshire on Stage, and she was sent to McCaden to see Spamalot, and I get to tag along. And it was terrific. They really do a job on these musicals, and they've just built up a tremendous reputation. At Theater Barn, they're doing Guys and Dolls, start opening tonight, and I'll be there because my wife is going to be reviewing it. And
they're doing Guys and Dolls.
They're doing Guys and Dolls starting tonight. So we're looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. And then the Taconic Stage Company was the one I was trying to think
yes.
of. They're doing The Last Flapper about Zelda Fitzgerald, and that continues this weekend.
The woman who is playing, that's a one-woman show.
Yes.
And Deidre Bollinger is a PIP member.
Oh, good.
She comes right out of PIP and it has worked with Carl Ritchie, who is the director and the founder of that group.
Right.
And Carl, actually, years ago, would come down to the PIP meetings as well.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been there in some years because he's been so busy.
Yes.
But we still consider him. I think he's still on our mailing list.
I think he is. I bump into him from time to time, and he always says, oh, gee, I'm sorry I didn't come last Sunday.
but it's been like seven years. Right?
Yeah, you say, right. And you say, Carl, it's okay. Yeah, so it's a nice community.
I just can't believe what Mac Hayden does, because they churn these shows out. After Hello, Dolly, they're doing Cabaret. I mean, it's just incredible.
They generally have this stuff for 2 weeks.
Yeah, the press release I got for the Columbia paper says that Hello, Dolly is wrapping up the summer season.
I believe
of the
it
musical
is.
Theater. Yeah, I think, and they're doing a couple of other extra things. They are. They're having one night of Cabaret and one night of something else.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the show Cabaret.
Oh,
they may have
I
a
know.
Cabaret.
It's not the
I
show Cabaret.
No,
it is a Cabaret.
Their season is ending with
yes.
Hello, Dolly.
Uh-huh.
They did not get Bette Midler to play the role, I'm afraid.
Did they try?
No.
No.
But... She's otherwise engaged, but knowing the quality of the work they have, I'm sure it's going to be an exciting production.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, they have on August 28th they have something called In Development, where there's songs from two original musicals being developed and performed by the company. So that's before Hello, Dolly closes, and then on September 2nd they have Sing Happy. End of season Cabaret at the Mac Hayden Theater at noon. If you want to go to a cabaret at noon, I'm sure it's very nice. It's a benefit, and it includes refreshments.
Yes, they always put that in, don't they?
Yes. Oh, it's the music of John Kander and Fred Ebb. Performed by the 2017 company.
Well, that's Cabaret, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Big time. That'll be nice. So the summer stages are winding down. Okay.
I think that Williamstown Theater Festival is done for the year. They always finish early because their theater is part of the college campus.
Right.
And so the college students are back in. Tanglewood, the Boston Symphony Orchestra, is finishing with Beethoven's Ninth on this coming Sunday. I believe Theater Barn, I think Guys and Dolls might be their last.
They go into October, actually.
They have a
drama usually rather than a musical sometime in the fall.
They extend
a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. That's right. And Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, is also working on new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new artistic director, Alan Burroughs, who's introducing new things, and I think they're going to be trying to put things on. They even put things on, in December this past year. Many of the theaters in the area are going beyond July and August.
Oh, yeah.
And because there are people who live here, actually.
Yeah, hello.
Not just summer here, not just weekend here, who are interested in theater.
Yes.
And so they're finding, okay, they don't put on their big productions. They find less expensive productions to put on. Barrington Stage is doing the same thing in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And Berkshire Theater Group as well. So the theater season is expanding.
Are there any theaters now in Albany?
Well, sure, there's Capitol Rep. They're all year round.
Yes, yeah. One of our PIP actors was just in a musical at Capitol Rep. It had to do with the Armenian genocide, and many of us went up there to see him and to see the play. They do beautiful work, and they're on most of the year, aren't they, Jesse?
Yes, they are. And also one of our PIP members was in 4,000 Miles up there at Capitol Rep a few months ago. So, yeah, they have theater in Albany and at Proctor's in Schenectady.
Oh,
yes.
That's right.
Which is related to Capitol Rep. Yeah. I think there's an affiliation now.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, there's more and more theater going on. sounds like.
I know. Yeah. Things yep. never stop. It used to slow down in the winter, but it doesn't anymore.
No, you try to find something in January, and you may have to look pretty hard.
Oh, I don't know. I still get a lot of press releases for the Columbia paper in January.
Is that so?
Yeah. There's stuff going on. But now, yeah, it's been insane the last couple of weeks.
Oh, it's been so busy.
My goodness.
You can't possibly do all the things you want to do Hudson anymore.
No, you can't do it all. You can do something every single day of the summer, but you'll miss a lot.
You will.
That's right.
Yeah. One time I proposed to Perry Teasdale, the editor of the Columbia paper, that I would try to attend briefly every concert that was going on a Friday in the summer. Because that would have taken me, you know, to like the park concerts in Helsinki and the classical music. There was a tremendous range of things going on in one particular evening. But it didn't fly.
You were going to go to every one of them?
I was. I had figured it out.
You could. How many in a given Friday would that have been?
Maybe six.
This were was you going to take a helicopter?
No, I was just going to drive fast.
Roller skates, yeah. I think.
No, I needed a car.
And that included Tannery Pond? And
I can't remember if they were on, because they're very often Saturday. And I was really looking at a Friday, because it included, you know, like the Greenport Park concert or the Copaque Park concert or the Ghent band was playing somewhere. You know, I wanted to get the full spectrum. It would have been fun. I should have just done it.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, well, it was a couple of years ago. I had more energy. Yeah. So let's see. So you're listening to the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your radio dial, or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org. Now I got to check the time because it's almost announcement time. We've got a minute and a half, Ellen. And I don't know where the news is, so I'm not going to rush it.
You don't know where the news is. Shall I go?
No, it's okay. Not yet. We'll just stay here and finish out the hour. And then in the next hour, we'll have lots more events to talk about. It'll be really fun. Stay tuned. Yes.
But it's been great talking to the two of you. Because
Thank you.
You're good talkers. We like
you. Yes. As Amy Goodman says, 50 seconds. She's so funny. She'll say 5 seconds, and the person talks for another minute.
We have 50 seconds to fill?
No.
Not anymore.
48.
You have about 30.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So have a great season with Pip. Sounds like fun.
We enjoy it.
Sure you do.
We meet on the first Sunday of each month at the Hudson Opera House.
Thank you.
If you're interested, contact them. They'll put you in touch with us, and we can talk about your membership.
Thank you, Jesse.
Is there a membership fee?
No. There's no membership fee whatsoever.
We are a loosely organized group, and there is no dues, and we have no money.
No dues, no newsletter.
Okay, that's it.
Officers.
Thank you.
Thank you.